This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
The trial of Karen Reed continues to move forward. And I think for a lot of us watching objectively, feeling like we have more questions than answers, and making it more and more hole ridden, if you will. They're trying to poke the holes in the story of the prosecution, and I think they're not doing too bad of a job. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. What's been your reaction this last week? We've seen a lot of interesting testimony and a lot of things that just don't really seem to, I don't know, add up all that well for the prosecution of Karen Reed. Not saying there's a conspiracy going on, but
right,
things just don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, you know, there's an incredible need and an expectation for law enforcement and prosecutors to be impeccable in their work and to present an absolutely impeccable case. And with the reversal of the video, you know, which they didn't own up front, I mean, it looks bad. And yeah, yes, it may mean it's nothing other than sloppiness, but you can't convict somebody when there's sloppiness, because that does raise doubt.
Without a doubt. And that's where I want to kind of get some of your insight here on this, because if you're already on the conspiracy road, all you need is one little tidbit to go, see, because this is
exactly
off, everything's off. And that's not how reality exactly works. But it does make me start to wonder a little bit in this case if either A, it's sloppy police work, or B, it was police, not again, not trying to, not killing John O'Keefe and planting the body somewhere, yeah, but maybe realizing that, you know, Karen did do this, and we just want to make it as evident as possible that that is what happened. But in the same point, doing that, you destroy the case,
yeah,
and you get a lot of red flags. Do you think that's what's going on here? I mean, what's your analysis thus far?
It does sound like that's very plausible. It's like they came to a conclusion because that was the most reasonable conclusion to come to. Although I would disagree, you know, my feelings that she did this intentionally, mm-hmm, to murder him.
Sure.
My best guess is she was so drunk, she doesn't remember what happened. She doesn't know what happened. Mm-hmm. And she hit him accidentally, doesn't remember it. And, you know, at this point, she's just going to claim she didn't do it, which I can understand her rationale for that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that the police, you know, that the people inside the home killed him and then covered everything up and all that. But is there reasonable doubt now? Yeah. Very, very possible there is.
I know this does happen sometimes. It's not an anti-police statement or anything like that, but sometimes these sort of things happen where,
yes,
where the needle gets moved a little bit and then it looks, yes, far more nefarious than it truly is. Why do people do that? Why does someone, I mean, it doesn't even have to be in police work. This happens in life in general. You know, sometimes people will move the needle a little bit to try and put things into a better focus for those who are going to be judging this and being aware of what happened, who weren't there. I mean, why when the reality speaks for itself?
You know, when I was young and naive, I really thought that the justice system was all about finding the truth, mm-hmm, you know, and that everybody was working together in the court system, you know, the defense and the prosecutors. We just want to get to the bottom of you know, what really happened here. But over the years, I've seen more and more, you know, evidence that it's about winning, and both sides really want to win. Mm-hmm. And I think, therefore, they end up not really shooting for the truth. They are prone to distortions, whether, yep, they do it consciously or not. They want to win.
And that seems to be the driving force, not truth, but winning. Being exactly, already having a preconceived notion of what right is,
exactly,
and then doing anything you can to get to that point. Facts be damned.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that I think, true, is what we're seeing a lot of in this case. Let's talk about some of these things, though. I mean, the inverted video, that to me was just grossly dumb to submit that. I mean, we work with video every day here. It doesn't naturally come inverted. I don't know what they're using. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some software that they use, it inverts. I don't know. But I know anything I've ever used, if you're going to invert it, it takes a few steps. It's not, mm-hmm, just like, oh, here's how it is, and I got to flip it back the right way. No, it should be coming out the right way initially. Someone took the steps of doing this, or some idiot hit the wrong button, didn't know what they were doing. Right. I don't know. That's the thing. But it certainly, it looks shady.
Yeah, yeah. And if they had come in and owned it right up front, oh, somebody did this improperly and it's inverted, well, that would come off different. Mm-hmm. But not owning it looks bad. It does feed into the theory that they're all in this together.
Yeah. What's your take on this? And it's not a psychological question or anything, but I'm trying to make heads and tails of this, and I'm getting everybody's opinion. The back bumper of Karen Reed's SUV, there was glass that was found on it that was not related to the drinking glass, apparently. There's the hair, the lone hair that seems to be there. They haven't even identified if it's of John O'Keefe's yet. I'm assuming it is. Otherwise, why are we talking about it? Yeah. But how does something like that stay on the bumper of a vehicle when it was then driven 30 miles through a snowstorm and also towed 30 more miles through a snowstorm for a total of 60 miles? Thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I'm no expert on that. And it you know, where my mind went speculating, there could have originally been a lot of hair.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, where it was exactly, how it got stuck there. It's, to me, it's plausible. And if it does turn out to be John O'Keefe's hair, I think that's pretty damning evidence.
Yeah.
But at this point, we haven't heard the whole story, so we don't completely know.
Well, you have microscopic pieces of taillight embedded in his clothing. So that's more than just a big chunk. That's like little pieces. That, what you mean, that's like almost not plantable to have it embedded in that sort of a way. That I don't know what to make of the other glass that's on the back of the vehicle. I'm not quite sure why that's there or how that's there. And it's, I don't know, again, there's just far more questions than answers, it seems, on this case. And it just gets more and more confusing. But they are certainly doing a good job of creating reasonable doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now